My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to another edition of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and with me as always...
Oh, shit.
yes.
I was looking at my phone to look up the news of the week.
Yep.
To remind myself of what the news was.
The last minute is the most valuable minute.
Did you know there's another royal baby on the way?
Oh, I did know that, actually.
Yeah. Name's going to be Adam, which is the same name as my name, Adam Knox,
who
I'm here on the podcast, and as well is...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanell here. Really weird change to the dynamic.
What do you think about that?
I'm putting
you two on notice. I'm going to start switching it up from week to week from now
on. Now I'm going to have to prepare a bit like I used to.
I'm on the back foot, honestly, now. I feel a little uncomfortable. I feel shaken.
Good. You come in here, you're a bit too confident. You're a bit too cocksure.
I had to walk through a rainy park to get here. I didn't have to.
You chose to.
Yeah. And also it wasn't raining. I just put a hose on.
You ran through the sprinklers.
Yeah.
It's the middle of summer.
So I'm already feeling, you know, just soaked and dreary.
Yeah, a little soggy.
A little soggy.
A little soggy bottom, boy.
A little bit of a soggy bottom.
How are you guys feeling about that royal visit that we're in the midst of right now?
I didn't know about it until people started making jokes about how many people were talking about it.
Really?
Yeah. We're talking about how Knox went to Burger King, yeah?
That's it. If I visited a Burger King in France, that'd be a royale visit.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice.
It's happened so often that people are like, why is everyone talking about this thing? And I see those sort of jokes from people on social media and I haven't heard of the thing.
Yeah,
having to Google something that you've seen on Twitter is a pretty embarrassing moment.
I hate that shit. So many people, and I probably do it as well. Everyone does it. It's like, A, because you don't have enough time, but also B, because you're like trying to be cool and in the know. People would tweet about a thing that they don't give any context to and just say their opinion about or say the thing about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just like Bill Cosby innocent or something like that. It's like, what does that mean?
See, but which Bill Cosby? Could be anyone.
That's true.
There must be heaps of them out there with that name.
Yeah.
You know?
Not anymore. I reckon you see fewer Bill Cosbys.
It's like Adolf is no longer a name.
Yeah, there won't be any Bills.
Yeah.
Genuine question. If your name was Bill Cosby, would you, in the light of all of this stuff, have gone and gotten your name changed?
I probably wouldn't go and get it changed, but I would tell people my name was William.
William Cosby. Mm.
And I wouldn't say Cosby.
Dr. William Cosby.
Yeah, my name
is... It's just William.
Dr. William.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil, his last name is actually... Quick, Adam, think of a dangerous Phil. Think of a Phil you wouldn't want to be associated... Spectre.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say Spencer, which is, I just realized, is the Xbox guy. So thank you for saying Spectre.
So Dr. Phil went out and got his doctorate purely to distance himself from Phil Spectre.
That's what I'm alleging.
That's good shit. So your hair's retaining a lot of moisture. You know, you've been in my house for about 15 minutes ago, now, and you're still drenched.
I know. It's really wet outside. Well, like, you don't. What do you want me to do about it?
No, but I'm saying you've retained that moisture.
Yeah.
My hair is very absorbent.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, actually.
Probably the opposite. Yeah.
It's repulsive.
Curly, I think, is the word.
Yeah. Well, it's like wavy.
I'd say curly.
When it's wet, it's... who cares about this?
We've gone from fashion report to hairstyle report.
Yeah. Hair report. That's good stuff.
My only hairstyles I ever have are just the number of months since a haircut.
Yep.
And that is just whatever the hairdresser does with it.
Yep.
I got my haircut last when I was over in the UK, and the guy was like explaining his reasoning behind everything he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really interesting because he's like, so, okay. He trimmed the beard and he's like, I'm going to leave a couple little bit. I'm not going to do the accent because not because I'm afraid to do it. I'm not intimidated by our PC culture.
But you at least do the eyes.
I won't be able to do it. But he was saying, like, the beard, I'm going to leave this bit because some of your beard has more volume, some of it has less. I'm going to leave this longer so that it all looks the same thickness throughout.
Yep.
Same sickness throughout is what he said. And then he did a little shocker.
Hell yeah.
And then, like, telling me, like, all about where the different bits of the hair went. He's like, you've got voluminous hair, you've got thick hair.
Yep.
So what I'm going to do is layer it and feather it and make sure that – and he gave me a good haircut.
Mm.
Yep.
But – the haircut now needs another haircut.
Mm. Right.
So that is what I would like to find in a hairdresser. If anyone in Melbourne has any suggestions for a hairdresser who can make a haircut happen on you.
Yes.
That will last a year ideally.
Okay.
Whoa.
Fucking hate to get a haircut.
Without just shaving it off.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Right?
How do you feel about having to get a haircut on holiday?
I prefer to do it because it feels like you're doing something. Do you know what I mean?
See, I have the opposite. I've a couple of times I've just been like, fuck, I need to get a haircut, and been like overseas or something and gone, God, I fucked this.
Oh, really?
I could be doing anything in this city and I'm sitting here getting a fucking haircut.
But it doesn't take
long.
Why
don't I do my tax over here?
It's a nice little break to have from like going
from your holiday.
And then in mid-holiday as well, having a little refresh like that makes you feel, you know, when you're away for a while, you're like, oh boy, I could use my own bed or my own shower or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel that way.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. I love the change.
I miss my bed when I'm away.
Your little blankie, your little barber.
Yeah. I sleep real bad, so I get
true.
I get thrown off by being in a
having
bed.
My own hygienic amenities at home. Mm-hmm. I like.
Mm.
And so after an extended period of time away, I can start to feel like a little grubby for not having that stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I think, I don't know, I'm not as particular.
You're the most particular person I know.
Okay, I'm not particular about this one thing. This is my only thing.
I thought of something actually that would make the haircut overseas great. Because you know, if you visit another country, you're just looking on TripAdvisor and whatever. And, you know, you want to get off the grid. You know, the best thing is to like know someone who lives in the city and they can give you, you know, they can show you around.
The secret cool place there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very difficult to figure out tweet equivalent of a restaurant.
Ah, yes.
So you go get a haircut overseas and you really put that hairdresser to extra work.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
grilling them. You're getting the inside knowledge, what's good.
Oh.
You grill them for data. That's
always,
actually good.
Hairdressers are always like, so what do you do?
Exactly.
What do you study? What do you? They're always trying to get the conversation going. And you're usually, I'm just like, shut up and cut my hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
You throw a glass on the floor, it smashes.
I doubt you're that polite, but anyway. But that's great. So, yes, it takes care of the small talk and you get some good local knowledge.
That is actually a great idea. The one thing with that is you're then at the whims of the specific tastes of this one stranger.
Yeah.
True.
So if this person sends you to 50 different hairdressing themed cafes.
The wig museum.
Don't go see the castles. There is an amazing head of hair on this person who runs a jeans shop.
The West End hairspray. You're going to love it.
I think it.
And hair. Go see both.
Yeah.
A lot of hair-themed musicals.
The Barber of Seville.
That's Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. Sweeney Todd, yeah.
Grease. You could put grease in your hair.
Name a musical that's not about hair.
Cats. That's about fur.
They got hair.
Exactly, they got hair.
There's a hair element. I think a haircut is as good as a holiday.
Interesting.
Agreed.
All right.
It's a little holiday from your morning.
That's it. A holiday from your old hair.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't like my hair. I've never
found good hair.
I've never found a hairstyle though. I mean, like that really. I've gone ooh.
But you've got the kind of hair where you don't really need a hairstyle.
You used to have one of the most distinctive hairstyles I've ever seen in real life.
I used to have long ass hair. This is my life.
Right? Like he used to have hair that was like a commentable thing. It was massive.
Yeah. I
think you were kind of trimming it back around the time we became friends. But
yeah,
it was
it
still
would have been.
But yeah.
Well, because I had the very long hair around my like uni sort of I've figured out how to look cool. I'm never going to regret this.
Did you have the business shirt aesthetic back then?
Uh-huh.
Was it darker shirts though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had that big that big handkerchief full of metallic objects in my pocket.
Yes, that's a great video. If anyone has not seen that, it's what's his name, like Kremler or something.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's something like that. Oh, it's this poor dude who's like he's just gone to uni and he's done like 7 things to reforge his personality that he didn't like.
Okay,
yeah. You know what I mean? And they're all he's putting on an accent.
He puts on like
stuff.
A British Shakespearean accent.
It's the most uni fucking thick. Every time if you go to a pub and see someone with like a big red jacket with badges on and you're like, mate, get the degree, but fucking hell, you're just calm down.
Yeah,
it's fine to just wear clothes.
Okay.
They start the interview with him by asking how he's going.
Who is he?
I can't remember what his
name
is.
He's just some dude. He's some guy. It's like uni TV cable.
Yeah,
oh, okay, right.
It's like, this guy's the most interesting new student at our university.
Right, okay.
They're like, how's it going, man? And he's like, chillfully thus far. It is absolutely hilarious.
Love it.
And sometimes
the best parts of it is when he falls out of the accent or like kind of can't think of the fake poetry thing that he wants to say. So
he's playing Elvis in a musical.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, yeah, how do you feel about playing Elvis? And he's like, Elvis was one of the great 50s and 60s and 70s people.
Yeah, I feel so much empathy for the guy.
Absolutely.
Everyone goes through that fucking thing of like just thinking.
Here's my personality.
Yeah, thinking you're getting away with it.
Yeah, big
for
time.
For such a while, you fucking stand there with your fake neon fucking pants on or whatever.
Yeah. Or because you're away from the people that you went to high school with and you're okay, well, like this is my chance.
Yes.
But then, you know, you see people do that and then they bump into someone that they went to high school with and it's like, no.
I bumped into someone I went to high school with when he was in the midst of this on a train, and I still remember that he said to me like, so have you reinvented yourself yet? I was like, what do you mean? No.
Yes, I've started dressing like the teachers that we used to have.
Well, yeah, and like, yes, my hair looks like an anime. But
yeah. Good stuff, boys.
Yeah.
We have done a new premium episode that will be going up on the Bandcamp soon.
Yeah.
We did the history of flash games, online flash games and browser games and stuff like that, which you can get now or if not very, very soon.
It'll be in about a week from the release of this.
Yes, but if you're on the Patreon, you can get one of the tiers is you get early access to those when we put them up. So if you're thinking you want to get on that now, you can go subscribe. What is it? Patreon.com/
I think Filthy Casuals pod or podcast, but if you just go to Patreon and search for us, we'll be there.
Same with Bandcamp. It's like filthycasuals.bandcamp.com when it's up there. And we'd like, so this one is like a regular length Bandcamp episode, longer episode, you know.
Yeah.
And we talk about our last sort of memories of the flash games and stuff. And at the end, we ask for you to send in your ones, and we're going to do a second part to this episode that you'll get for free if you buy the first one with everyone else's stuff, and we'll go and play your favorite flash games back in the day.
Yeah,
it's actually really
look
fun
into them. Yeah, because there's so many of them. But we talked Newgrounds, we talked Mini Clips.
Yeah.
That was the one you were into.
Yeah.
It's in this weird gray part of your memory as well.
Yeah.
Where it was fun to dig in there, rummage around.
We talked about a lot of like flash animations and sort of the humor that was attached to that era of games. Yeah.
We did a lot of reminiscing about the early aughts, just in terms of everything.
Stuff
we enjoyed.
There's definitely a certain age bracket that I think will enjoy this one the most.
Mm.
And that age bracket is whatever my age is.
I was a bit drunk, so I don't remember big chunks of it. It's good stuff. It was a stroll down memory lane. If the council had said, by the way, we're permanently paving over memory lane in 2020, and no one will be able to go there anymore.
Yes.
Also, have these beers before you walk down with Tommy, and keep that medal around your neck from the marathon.
I ran a 10K, and I had a medal on.
Yeah, you're in a real state.
Yeah. I was all over the place. And then we went out for a few beers after that, and the drinking continued. And then I was back here alone with my thoughts, going, what did this add up to today?
Me and Ben are both very professional and competent on the episode, I want to point out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And in beers afterwards. Really kept it above board.
I do nothing below the board.
Yeah, did you guys stay out?
We went over the road to the gig that Knox was on at.
Oh, yeah.
And then the power went out. So, and I went home.
But the gig continued in the lobby little area.
That's so good.
With no microphone, and I fucking killed.
Oh, yes. That you always do in those situations. Like, when it's really stacked against you, when it's set up for you to like a like ball on a tee, however.
Yeah.
Yes.
If the train has blown up and a baseball is flying out of the wreckage towards me, I can hit that as far as you want. If I am standing in front of the world's most stationary baseball, I'm hitting myself in the fucking dick.
At the gig that me and Ben used to run, Catfish Comedy, when we had Hannibal Buress on were hosting, and multiple times over the night I think you went, what am I doing?
Wanted to impress Hannibal.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for that on the Bandcamp, or get on the Patreon, get it early and get all our bonus content. I don't think we plugged the Patreon enough. I think there'd be plenty of people that don't know that that exists.
It's great. Everyone who's on there we deeply love.
Yeah.
But like seriously, it makes us able to do this.
You get to be in a cool little Facebook group with us, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I put
a poll in there as a result of a conversation that we had at the pub.
Oh, yeah.
A little side thing that we might do.
Yeah.
Sometime in the future,
yep.
That we were all very excited about. It was one of those ones that was like a couple of beers deep. We're like, what if we did this? And then I posted it in the group immediately then and got up the next morning and looked at it and went, oh, that's right. And the mark of a good idea where I'm like, no, I still think this is good.
Yeah.
I stand by this.
Yeah. I think that is the mark of a good idea, but at no point do you think that idea is shit. I reckon that's one of the most distinctive things about a good idea.
Sorry, a good drunken idea. A good drunk idea that you can back up in the sober light of day and go, nope, I would still commit to this.
Yeah.
So you know what? You join the Facebook group, join the Patreon, join the Facebook group and get in there and you'll see a post from me and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But until then, fuck yourself. So we got a bit of news up the top. There's a lot of Red Dead Redemption kind of tidbits coming out in the week.
I think a lot of this
week before it comes out.
This is from a lot of this is from an interview with Dan Houser.
Ah, yes,
who's one
of the Houser brothers.
He's one of the top brass over at Rockstar.
Yep.
You know, the most famous developer in the world. That one I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I remember their name.
But there's a few different little Red Dead facts. I'll go from least interesting to most.
Some of them might be red herrings. No, I think they're all real.
here's one of them that I know. This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
Very good.
Yeah, that's true. This stagecoach ain't gonna rob itself. Git.
Yep.
It definitely says git.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, I think it was.
Excuse me?
Like stuff like the game will be at like 100 gigabytes again on everything. On the it's slightly less on the Xbox, but games are just that big now. Seems to be the thing. Every game seems to be 100 fucking gigabytes. We'll talk about that.
So we're going to be sitting there for hours waiting for a big patch on day one.
You got to sit down and let the nature roll around you. You're in too much of a hurry. Back in my day, we used to be able to sit around. Back in my day of 1873, we used to be able to sit around and wait for a game to download. You lost that skill? I don't know what I expect you to do with this. I'm looking at you like I want a response.
Is this stuff from the first game?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I should really have known what to respond with. You whore.
Some part of it, I don't know if it's from this, but they might be casting for Bully 2.
Oh, cool.
Remember Bully?
Mm-hmm.
So they might be making another one of them.
They've renamed, right? Because Bully is...
Over here they did.
Right.
In the rest of the world, I think it was still Bully. Or at least in the US.
Yeah, because bullying's still cool over there.
Yeah.
What was it here?
Canis Canem Edit.
Oh, that's right. I always thought that was just like a subheading of
it. It was in the original game. It was the crest of the school.
Yeah, right? And like the 360 version or something over there had that as the, instead of Definitive Edition or whatever it was called that.
Yeah.
But over here it was just that, which is just an inscrutable name. I do not know Latin. I refuse to learn Latin. It died out for a reason.
Yeah. Well, yeah, to be fair, though, times have changed, so I look forward to the follow-up game being called Fat Shame This Cunt Until He Kills Himself, Rockstar's new game. That'll be good.
What's that in Latin, though? That's what we'll get.
Oh, good. I should know that because I did Latin 20 years ago.
I think Latino, more like Latin, no.
Okay.
Some real haymakers in this one.
We are punchy today.
The boys just giving it everything.
The main thing, though, there's a main positive thing and a main negative thing, and they both relate to hours.
Can you guess what they are?
Can we decide which one we want to hear first? The good news or the bad news?
Yeah. Okay. So
start.
Look,
yep.
I've got good news,
uh-huh.
But I do have bad news as well. So.
Oh, okay.
Can we only hear the good news?
Yeah.
No one's ever asked me that of me before.
I've stumped him.
you're cured.
Yes.
That was the secret.
Oh,
you
great.
Just have to never learn the bad news.
Yeah.
And it goes away.
If you never hear it, it doesn't exist.
Mm. Good news first.
Yeah.
Sure.
The game's long
mm-hmm.
and full of stuff.
Great.
That is the short version of it. It's like...
Yeah.
And
no one else is long and full
always
of stuff.
Inflated. That would be
great if it was a 100 gigabyte file,
yeah.
And then just like a 4-hour campaign.
Oof.
Main thing will last you about 60 hours. They're saying, but again, this is from an interview with the guy who's selling the game. So,
yes,
I every time in any review when it says it lasts for this many hours, like. Usually 2/3 to a half of that amount of time is how much you'll actually...
Sounds like what you're saying is he knows how to play the game quickly because he made it.
Oh, yes.
So it's actually triple that amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That makes sense.
I didn't think of it that way and I continue that.
What is a 65-hour game that exists already?
Like...
I guess Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the main story of a game like this, though, they're kind of... That's quite long.
Mm.
That's huge. That's really long.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like, there's stuff like Persona that's 100 hours or whatever.
Sure.
But, you don't see it a lot.
Mm.
Very long, too.
It's super long.
Yeah.
I caught
up
with a friend of mine the other day who was saying that he got a PS4 not long ago and he's enjoying it and he loved the first Red Dead and he's like, yeah, I don't know about this because I'm just not at a point in my life where... I can just invest in the time in this.
Yeah.
And that's a fair... I kind of never thought of it that way. Of like, we the three of us, between our lifestyles and also the fact that we do this, have the luxury of being able to commit to this stuff. But he's just like, yeah, man, like, at a different point in my life, I would have been absolutely salivating on this. But I just can't even really look at it or look at any of the, footage or anything because it's just like... Well, that's not for me.
Right.
Totally. I feel the same way about like MMOs and like that Divinity game and stuff like that where people say that is probably around 60 hours or some people
sure.
are saying.
Yeah.
And it's intimidating. It's why I haven't watched The Wire still.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all there and it's like 50 hours long. Don't have the time.
The Sopranos. I've never seen The Sopranos and I keep wanting to start, but it's such a commitment.
You guys should A, watch both of those and B, man up. Because Persona 5...
I feel
5,
like we'll learn to through watching those two shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Persona 5 is 100 hours long.
Yeah, that's true.
And it took me 6 months and I was happy for it too. Like, I loved it and I was happy to pace it out. It's like, you don't have to play it all in a week.
No, that's true, but it's for me.
Thank you.
But it's also Persona 5 I played to the exclusion of several other things during that time.
Yes.
But whatever, if it's good enough, it'll keep you for that amount of time probably. And also, you don't need to finish everything.
Yeah.
I'm happy to play this for 12 and go like, maybe not.
Sure.
That's my thing.
What I'm doing with like Assassin's Creed basically.
Yeah.
Is there's no way I'm doing all of that at some point because that is probably around the same sort of time as that. But
That's true. And I haven't finished one of those for like 7 years.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the feeling of finishing things and I'm a little bit like I get it. I kind of feel that way about this. I'm like, I don't really, there's not much that, and like I'm still very slowly making my way through Persona 5. Mm. Like every now and then I'll kind of dip back in for a little bit and it's like, yeah, I love it, but I wish it's just this niggling thing where I kind of wish, as much as I'm loving it, I just wish I was done with it and I could put it away instead of constantly being like, anytime I buy a new thing going like, fuck, I've got to go. I have a hard time letting myself go. You know what? I played this for half the amount of time that it goes for and that'll do me and I'm done now. Like it's always at the back of my head of like, oh, I've got to finish that.
Right. That's interesting.
You know.
Yeah, I think I have the same thing as well. Which it's not a big deal. And look, this game, the previous one and all the Rockstar games basically are kind of built around that idea of being massive, so it kind of has to be like this.
Mm, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It just is whether or not there can be really good games that don't gel with you for whatever reason. And this could be that for some people. But
sure.
So it's long. That's the main thing. And then there'll be all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 2,000 hours of motion capture of like cowboys tipping their hats, horses walking probably. I bet they motion captured a horse.
Yeah, yeah. Just one.
Just the one. They all look the same. Every horse looks pretty much the same. Some are bigger and smaller. Ponies?
Not a horse. Horses. yeah. So, donkey?
Not a horse. Let's play. Is this a horse?
Heroin.
Yes.
It is. A horse.
What if it's all this like motion capture and everything's very realistic and everything and then the horses literally talk like Mr. Ed does?
I reckon that'd be weird.
Yeah.
In answer to your question of what if? I reckon people would be a little bit confused.
I would love to work at a company like this and just slot something like that in. Just have everything else be ultra realism and then just one little thing in there that just fucks the whole thing up.
Yeah, there's one NPC in the middle of like that you're just not going to run into them, but the six people who do, like, there's just a clown in this. Someone made a fool. And he's like a modern clown.
Yeah,
he's making like pop culture jokes.
Oh.
He's the genie in Aladdin.
Yes.
Yes.
What else is there? Like they
fuck.
It's a big ass game. It's basically what he's spruking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to give the impression of like, look how hard we've worked on this game. This is why it's so big, is because
it's
we
a
give
great
a shit
quote
about
already.
It.
He's about to fuck it up.
He said like, yeah, man, this game's enormous. It's so cool. We were working 100-hour weeks to do it. And, everyone who saw this went like, sorry, what?
Yeah, record scratch. Like,
yeah.
Wait a minute, what?
How many hours are in a week? 1, 2, 3, 4. Not that many more than 100. And so he clarified this. This is Dan Hanser still clarified it by saying like, oh, this is like 6 or 7 of us who are working on the story, which like if you printed the script out, apparently it's like 8 feet tall.
Mm. Whoa.
That's a tall fucking script, man.
Yeah.
That script could play for the LA Lakers.
Thank you very much for saving me of having to say Shaq, I guess.
The fact that he was like bragging about that though, but yeah, he's like, it was a few of us finishing up this.
Mm.
We didn't force anyone to do it. There's no expectation of anyone to do it, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is still like, there's two, we'll go around the table.
Okay.
And listen, we're going to be here for a while.
All right.
So if you've got a family you need to call, tell them you're not going to go home, we'll get Chinese because we're hashing this out.
Honestly, I'm fine with that. And I'd be happy to stay as long as is required to make the best possible product.
Great. Me too, Tommy. You're in because we're doing it and you're going to feel as though you have to because seeing the other people do it pressures you into doing it.
Oh, I get it now.
So
this is what it's like to be in Chimp Cop.
The two sides are like, we all know that, especially with creative things, the fact they were doing the script, there is a benefit to locking yourself down.
Yeah.
Fucking posting up and working for a solid ass period of time really, really hard and intensely.
Yeah.
Mm. That does help with the production of that sort of stuff for most people, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that as a culture at your place, if you're the top kind of brass and you're doing that, A, you shouldn't be doing that.
Sure.
Well, if
no company should have someone there working for 100 hours a week. It's just not a healthy thing to do.
But if you're the top brass and you're benefiting the most directly, you know, in terms of acclaim and in terms of financial benefit, then yeah, you probably should. If you believe in it enough and you really want it to be good, then yeah, you just kind of have to.
I mean,
should that trickle down to like all the employees who are just, oh, they want it to be good because they care about their work, but should they be guilted into this thing that like they don't get the, you know, like you say.
Yeah, like they get $60,000 a year and they want to have time with their family.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So you're relating it back to like comedy and like, yeah, we all do this when it comes up to comedy festival.
Mm.
Yeah, you're just putting in round the clock hours because it's your show and you're the one that stands to benefit from it.
Mm.
So you just have to give a fuck as much as you can. If you brought in a second person and we're getting them to do that and it's like, by the way, you're not going to get to perform to the audience. You're not going to get any money.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, well, it's unreasonable to expect
them
to
care
to that extent.
And even if they are, it's still unreasonable. In a corporate environment,
yeah,
like, you can't set up the expectation that that amount, because crunch in video games, and I think this has been why it's become a thing, is that in the video game industry in particular, that idea of crunch of fucking
the fact
working
that it has
heaps,
a cute nickname is pretty
exactly.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing like on those old demo discs back in the day, they'd have the little making of features, and they'd be filming it and go like, "Look, this guy's even got a bed next to his desk."
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
he doesn't go home, and they're like, "Isn't it cool to imagine sleeping next to a PlayStation?"
Yeah,
and you look at that and you go like, "Oh wait, that's disgusting."
Yeah,
not you know hygienically for this guy, leave that guy. But in a corporate culture, that's no good.
Yes.
People still kind of talk that way about the Japanese. Ah, they're all over there. Yeah, it's working flat out. They love it.
Yeah.
Do they?
So they get a nap hour in the middle. It's like, no, they collapse if they don't have it. That's not a fun thing they do.
Yeah.
So, it's not a good thing to say. And, like, work the 100 hours, but make the game come out 4 weeks later.
You know,
I mean, you shouldn't be working 25 hours a week. You know what I mean?
No, that's a part-time job.
3 days a week only.
I'm gonna fit this job at Rockstar in around my paper route.
But you know what? It's pretty obvious what we're saying is the same thing everyone's saying of like, don't force people to work too long.
Yeah, and it's dodgy. It's dodgy for him to say that quote and then be like, no, what I meant was, it's like, you have to know how that, like, why would you, if the case is just like a couple of us did it once, why would you say we have been doing 100 hour week? Like, you know how that's going to get interpreted.
Yeah.
I think he's just from that culture where bragging about that was cool for like decades, two or three decades.
Until very recently, you know.
Well, and they're a week and a half away from, you know, releasing one of the most hyped things in recent memory.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're very clearly very much readying themselves for the wave of just, and there's been a couple of little preview things from some outlets who've played little bits of it already, who are like, you know, already the, you know, word is incredible. One of the one quote I saw was like, the best game of this, possibly any generation,
right,
like all that kind of stuff. So I think he's just trying to like feed that machine.
Yeah,
go,
yeah.
Oh, you want, it's 65 hours of story, and it's like we have just really
it's
trying to.
It's the biggest, baddest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's like people already, you could have just shadow dropped this with no hype whatsoever. People are already going out of their minds for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't need you.
You don't need to be out there going like, my wife left me.
Yeah.
I crashed my car on the way home because I was falling asleep.
We don't need to see the fucking work roster to go, wow, this looks good.
I get it from a creative point of view, you know. Sometimes you do get just...
Yeah, yeah.
That shit works. That's why people keep doing it as well, is because it is a way of doing this that works for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're setting up an environment, and this is a broader problem with video games, so you hear about it with like even CD Projekt Red, who made The Witcher and everything, and like you hear about it with a lot of companies, and especially, back in the day, where it isn't cool.
Yeah.
You can't make someone work that long.
So we're a week out.
So they'll put 7 more full work weeks into the game by then.
How are you boys feeling about it?
I'm not feeling hyped.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't feel like... There's been other games more recently. Cyberpunk is probably the example for me.
Right.
Where I am hyped for that game. I'm really excited for it. I wish it was out now. I don't really feel that way about this game.
Okay.
I think we all kind of know what to expect from it, or feel like that's the feeling at least that I have.
But I think so, yeah.
So do you feel like that's a result of just what you've seen of it? Because I feel like you were, as they were like, you know, a while ago when we were talking about when they did the sort of the... stuff on the Twitter where they like changed the handle and everything.
Mm.
I feel like you were pretty jacked on all that stuff.
Yeah, I think maybe it is the fact that the footage that's been released is like, oh, that's like the first one.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to dislike it in any way. I'm just not frothing at the mouth over
it. Right, right.
Yeah. I think it's going to be cool as well, but I would be surprised if it did anything where I was like, whoa.
Yeah, right.
What is this?
Mm. Yeah.
What's a cowboy?
Yeah, I guess we've all played a lot of that kind of game, and like Breath of the Wild was pretty revolutionary, and I did say out loud, whoa. But I did feel that way about it. It was there were moments that I'd never seen in a game before, and I don't know that I'm gonna have that with this.
And absolutely we might.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. We might. But it's almost like watching like a Scorsese film where it's like,
I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I've liked all these other films.
These crooks are going to be tough.
That's it. There's going to be some like long panning shots and some great music, but it's not going to like revolutionize what movies are like his films used to do.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun use of Gimme Shelter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes. I don't know if hearing Gimme Shelter again is going to do the same thing it did for me back in the day.
Totally. It's not going to blow my mind, but I do like the song.
Because all the stuff that we've heard about it, that they're, you know, there's this many types of horses, it's like, that's not going to make it a revolutionary game.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of tech, sure, but in terms of the gameplay experience being any different. And... yeah, I mean, every year that goes by, open world is like more and more, you know, it becomes less and less and less impressive where you want and do what you want.
There's so many games that aren't really open world games that just kind of do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's just become a pretty common template.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but who knows? Because I also feel like I don't know that much about it.
Yeah.
Because I have been sort of avoiding stuff.
Yeah.
And what I have seen has been vague, what they've put out. In some ways, but then in other ways, they've said really specific shit of like, if you lose your hat, it will show up on your horse. Really minutiae stuff that does make me think like, well, if that's the thing you're communicating to people, like, okay, why? What have you got then?
But I guess also it's like, if it's the most detailed game that's ever been made and it has a good long story.
Yeah.
Then I guess that is going to be a good game.
It'll be good. It's just not exciting, I guess, in some way.
I am like, really excited, mostly because of having never played the first one.
Sure.
So I'm really, really looking forward to it, and just a different, you know, cowboy sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I've really ever played anything set in that kind of world, in that kind of having that kind of feel. So for me going in, other than the fact that it's open world and Rockstar, so you kind of know what to expect, it is going to be a very unique experience for me. So I'm knowing that it's going to be huge and great, and it's inconceivable at this point that it's not, you know, 9.5s across the board
for
all the outlets.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm also...
the lamestream media.
The only thing I'm also a little bit... I'm just realizing kind of trepidatious about is I don't want to fucking rustle cattle again. I don't want to do the thing that is in every Rockstar game where like one of the missions is go buy a milkshake or whatever. Don't want to have fucking 20 of those 60 hours be feeling like go and rake this garden.
Yeah.
And like we put garden raking in the game. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. This game's full of stuff to do.
But it's all optional, though,
right?
It's all optional. I just ignore all that stuff. Like, I haven't really been like in GTA 5. With those things, I just kind of go for the whatever the story mission blips are on the map. I'll go do them. If I happen, like, I was doing this with Spider-Man. If I happen to pass by a backpack on the thing on the radar, I'll do that. But I'm not seeking it out, and I won't go back and do all that stuff once I've finished it. So, I don't know. I mean, all that stuff being in there. It's like we talked about in GTA 5, how, you know, you can play tennis and stuff. It's like, well, it's not a good tennis game.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just get Virtua Tennis or Mario Tennis or something if you want to play a tennis game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's there and, you know, whatever. But, you know, I've always found that stuff pretty easy to ignore in their games.
And look, we'll see in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to it, and I'm not going to go into it like with a prejudice. Just going to go into it with my regular level of prejudice.
Yeah. So, very
pretty hot.
I think I'm not excited for it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
As stupid as that, you know.
No, that makes sense.
Difference is,
And once you're in it, you know, you'll probably be like, fuck, this is...
I mean, I bought a new TV for it.
Yeah. That's
I bought a new Xbox as well. Like, I want it to be good for sure.
Yeah.
I think that is part of what...
I just don't know. I don't want to get hurt.
That's fair.
Do you know what I was just about to compare it to? It's like, you know, if you've been away from a partner for a while and you're like excited to see them, but you're also like, oh, what if it goes wrong or something?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah.
So it might. Something I forgot about, but that happened this week, is Sony said that they'll let you change your name on the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
That some people have been asking for forever.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
Not particularly interesting, but...
Another poll that was put up.
I don't want to say what it's going to be, though, because someone else will take it.
Oh, yeah.
So I...
Well, I did... Knox did a funny poll of, like, possible names he could change his to. And I did my own where the options were Ben Vernell or Ben underscore Vernell.
Yeah.
Which I was very
pleased. And then you turned
with.
Off comments.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want any suggestions. I don't want any jokes. Just vote one of these two things. That's the bit.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want people adding in options into the poll.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, though, is, like, with that, you... So
I'm not particular at all. What are you talking about?
You get one for free, and then after that, you got to pay if you want to change it again.
Yeah, like $8 or something.
Which is kind of
drug dealer style.
Yeah, that is weird. That's a weird thing. I get them just not wanting to take the piss and people change their names every.
It's weird. I don't really get what the thing is because, like, on Steam, you can change your name as much as you want.
Yeah.
Well, this is
you can just go in there and it. Yeah.
I didn't see it commented on at all, and it struck me as a thing where if Nintendo did that. People would fucking absolutely lose their minds over the gall of them doing something so kind of like ham-fisted.
I think it is exact because I think Microsoft charges you like $6 to change yours as well.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember. I don't know if that's true, but I think that's true. Or you can change it like once every 3 months or there's some limitation on it.
Right.
It's fine to make it so you can't just be changing your name every like, you know, 2 days or whatever, but make it, you know, you get four and then you're locked.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? Seems weird, but whatever.
Something else that's kind of neither here nor there. Oh, it's kind of interesting. Microsoft, you know how they bought a bunch of
developers?
Developers and announced them at E3.
Yeah.
Obsidian Entertainment, they're finalizing a deal with apparently. So they're the ones who did like Fallout New Vegas and a bunch of RPGs like that.
KOTOR 2, I think they did.
And the problems people always had with the games that they made is that they were a little bit undercooked.
Yeah.
So always a little bit under budget.
But very creative was always a thing.
Yeah. So it's probably a good fit with like a Microsoft bank with a bunch of real creative people.
Mm.
Yeah, cool.
So that could be cool, but you know, that'll be years before we see what that turns into.
Yeah. Yep.
And there was one other thing, right?
Nintendo Switch, potentially new version at some point.
Which is still just speculation, but...
was it based on? There was some...
A patent or something?
Some sort
or just
of...
I think it's just a rumor. It's just a heavy rumor.
Yeah.
Wall Street Japan.
A heavy rumor?
The Wall Street Journal
We're
Japan.
All going to run out of drinking water one day.
Oh, that is heavy. That's deep.
That is heavy.
Yeah.
A heavy rumor? Yeah, there's 16 tons over there.
Nice.
Oh, yes, he's done it.
I think it was some business magazine from Japan, and then it then got translated into English. Or, I can't remember what the exact source of it was. So it is still sketchy at best, but that a redesigned Switch in some way. I think mostly focusing on the screen quality or something like that was the main thing.
Right. Yeah, like an OLED screen or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
That makes sense. Nintendo do it with everything they ever put out pretty much. They do a new version, especially their handhelds.
Especially, that's the thing about it is that it is in the weird space between console and handheld where, it's at the start of next year, it'll be 2 years that it's been out, and if that was a phone or a tablet, they'd be bringing... You know, those kinds of things where they're portable and it's screen-based, they get updated all the time. So I don't know. I can see it being a thing where it's just like they change the tech that's in it to give it a bit of battery life and a bit sharper screen. But have it – I could almost see it being a thing where they're not selling it as a new thing. It's just like – Well, now when you buy one, this is just what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Just change the tech in it.
Same as like the PlayStation VR did that, where it's like, it's not super different, but it's like there's a new HDMI pass-through thing for 4K TVs and there's a attached headphone thing.
I don't think it'll be a thing yet. I think they'll get to this eventually, but I don't think it'll be a thing yet where it's like this new one is on the market and there's certain games where it's like you need
the Switch Pro.
I could almost see them just kind of like... rolling it out and being like, oh, it's gotten a bit of a facelift, but we're not even going to give it a new name.
It could go either way because that definitely sounds... I mean, that's a very common thing to do, especially like controllers have that happen and stuff like that all the time. But Nintendo also does do a lot of the like, here's the biggest changes, like the form factor thing early on. They go, now it's a lot more comfortable and it looks smaller and cooler. I could see them doing a mini version and that like new Nintendo 3DS.
Yep.
Where it's exactly what you're saying, where...
That was more powerful, though.
Yeah, there'll be six games that come out that you can't play on the old one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think they'll get to that point with the Switch eventually.
Right.
Before too long.
Mm.
But I think it is still pretty early on.
I could see them making a mini one with, like, the Joy-Cons built in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Switch.
Like the 2DS. style. Yeah.
And with like a smaller screen, and maybe there's just like an HDMI port on the bottom, not even a dock or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a little tiny, more portable focus one. Because I think people are loving the portable part of the Switch so much that a purely portable focus one would sell to people.
Yeah. I think so.
With a bit cheaper.
Bit cheaper, a little bit of a nicer kind of form factor for holding. Yeah. It is quite heavy for a handheld and stuff like that.
The regular Switch.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess
that's just a heavy
much.
Rumor. I mean, that it's depending on how you feel like it.
Well, we're recording this on Tuesday. Guess what's going to happen Thursday morning, boys?
Yeah.
So we
run out of that drinking water.
Reviews of the week, Knox. You broke open the Mountain Dew. You've got that Doritos dust all over your fingers, and you are just tilting your fedora as if to suggest that you've got something to tell us.
I can't hang out for long. I've got to go to Hungry Jack's soon and get some of those XP codes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best.
Honestly, Call of Duty knows exactly who the fuck they're selling to.
I love that.
What's the story? With like a Whopper meal, you get
it's like
codes
a, it's
for
a
Call
black
of Duty?
Whopper, too. It's got the black buns because it's Black Ops.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
And you get a little bonus code for like you put it in and you get 15 minutes of double experience when you're playing.
Yeah.
I'm so into it.
Greasy fucking Whopper hand.
Yeah. Just feeding multiple addictions at once. Yeah. Oh, God.
I haven't done that yet,
okay.
By the way. I haven't.
Yet.
I 100% said yet. Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Yep.
Are you going to... Will you do it, do you think?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I definitely did like a Destiny Red Bull one or something. There was someone that Red Bull had and I was like, okay.
Oh, if I could go and get like, if I could go and get a bowl of ramen and then just get like unlimited stars in Mario Kart for half an hour.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's very much the Tommy version.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that I'm already going to be doing anyway.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know, like... If I end up in a Hungry Jack's, I will get that meal but look confused about the code.
Okay, to
make it seem a little bit more like, oh, this guy is coming down here just for this.
Yeah. Can I get the Black Ops? I mean the Whopper.
Yeah. Double experience. What, that like twice as good of a Whopper? What do you mean?
Oh, it's two for one today. Oh, okay.
They don't give
Call
it to
of
you.
Is this supporting the troops?
they don't give you the code and you're like... I guess I got to cop to this. I got to ask for it specifically.
Or feigning ignorance, but you're there in your Black Ops T-shirt that you got as a pre-order bonus.
There was a thing they did in the UK just before I started talking about the game where Uber Eats did some promotion where from certain places you could order Uber Eats and get like a £7 fish and chip meal thing and get a free copy of the game. And they always said limited quantities or whatever, but the quantities were like... Four or something insane.
That was Szechuan sauce style.
So they like this. Oh man, it's so funny looking up like the UK Twitter sort of mention
of this game
of call it this most recent one
of
a
Black
PS4
Ops.
Copy of it.
Right.
£7.50 for your regular fish and chips price.
Wow. Yeah.
And you get a free copy of the game.
Fuck.
But like Uber Eats and this fish and chip shop.
Why
and all
fish
these
and
people.
Chips?
It was just like...
It's a UK meal.
Yeah.
A traditional wartime meal.
It was just this place that was doing it as
okay,
well.
Right,
or
right,
like
right.
It was certain place. The one I saw about was this fish
Do they
and
have
chips
big
place.
Fish and chips chains there? Is that like a thing?
They've got some, but it's mainly your local chippy.
Right.
Which...
So this guy just bought four copies.
But it was like, on like the Uber Eats website. It was like a full-on promotion.
Fuck.
And the people bought it and then just basically it all shut down and they received texts going like... Actually, none of it's coming. Sorry.
That's so funny.
Because not only did they not have enough of the game, they had hundreds of orders.
Yeah, of course.
So they just didn't have enough. I know why it was fish. I remember because it was called COD and COD.
You
order COD
that's
and you get.
Smart.
Yeah.
Standing out the front of your house waiting for your Uber Eats driver and he hands you the bag and you're like, forgetting something?
Not the drink this time.
This has happened before. I remember I got the Lord of the Rings Return of the King video game from Pizza Hut.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day.
Not an onion rings deal, which would have been hilarious.
Why?
Because onion's a funny word.
Yeah, great.
It's a big ass game.
Mm.
It's sold more digitally than any of the Call of Duty games before, but less physically.
Yep.
Which I thought was an interesting sign of the times.
Yes,
you were wrong.
The game itself I've been playing for the last few days. It had one of the big patches, but that's just life now, so whatever.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying it.
So you played the beta a couple weeks ago?
I played the beta of the blackout mode, which is their like PUBG.
And you really liked that?
It was real fun and it continues to be very fun.
Right.
It's probably the best one of those type of games that's available at the moment.
Interesting.
That's Battle Royale type of games.
Yeah. So it's you and 87 others in this one. For whatever reason, the number is 88.
Okay.
That's just the number that they could push it as high as... That clearly has to be the ceiling where like after that it's like it's not 60 frames anymore or whatever.
Right. It's the big Back to the Future fans.
Yeah, 88, that's why.
It goes 88.
The... loop of the battle royale thing, I think everybody knows at this point, but it's 88 people drop onto an island, you've got to kill everyone, be the last one standing.
Yep.
And the core sort of shooting of the Call of Duty games is good. And they move quickly and they know what they're doing in terms of pointing a gun at someone and shooting.
Yeah.
That is very, very well refined in the 50,000 of those games they've made.
they kind of are in the best position to capitalize on this battle royale thing where they're like, oh, cool, we'll just make the same game we would have made but have it be... Yeah, 80-something people running around. Yeah.
Well, since we have $75 million lying around, we can just do this. Like, it's such big corporation coming in and stepping on the neck of the little guy.
Yeah.
Not that fucking PUBG's the little guy anymore, and Fortnite's definitely not, but it's
but
really
the little guy's
fun.
Dressed like a fucking unicorn and doing some weird dance. So he deserves to have his next step.
If the little guy's flossing, let the last Battle Royale game standing
exactly.
win.
Yeah.
So, it's the same exact thing. It is an absolute ripoff.
Yeah.
Where there's the thing closing and you can hear everyone's footsteps and you've got to kind of hide a bit and you die quite quickly if someone finds you and you're looking for objects around to, you know, pick up all your equipment. On-site procurement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's lots of interesting parts of the map.
You said that at me like you were really teaching me a lesson.
It's a really good map that they've got on it. I don't think they will put out another one.
Mm. Oh, so it's just the one map. Are they all like that? Or?
Yeah, basically. Okay. Like PUBG has like three
now,
but people don't like the other two, basically.
Right.
And it's just this one massive map with lots of different bits, and the circle will always close around a different part.
Mm.
So you see a different part of it every time.
Right.
You never really get to know it that well. Apart from these little sort of intricate areas where you'd never spend enough time in any one of them really because it's so fast moving.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is part of the thing of these games is kind of feeling a bit like anyone could be anywhere and feeling a bit lost, you know, because that's the idea is you dropped on this island, you don't know.
Yeah.
So being that size, it keeps it up. That mode is fucking really fun. You get in and out so quick, like you can just keep rolling into the next one very quickly, which helps with this sort of thing. Because you can play it for 20 minutes and then get shot by the first person you see.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't really matter if you can just jump straight back in.
Yeah.
You know? And if you know that it was your fault because you're not as good at shooting as that guy is.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It always feels like that.
Okay.
Or at least it feels like that combined with this person was in the better strategic position.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the first shots in. But that's because I was a dumbass for being out here in the open.
Right.
It's really slick and polished. You can fly a helicopter around in it, which is something that the other one, or maybe Fortnite does, but like being in the air is really fun.
Mm. Yep.
Just in general.
Sure.
Love getting high.
Love to fly. Love to fly, bitch.
Dude, I'm going to always be flying. You guys want some ayahuasca?
Yeah, sure.
What is ayahuasca?
I have no idea. I've never heard that before.
There's no I in ayahuasca. Give me some. That's something I'd say if I was a fucking dropkick.
I believe we have it on record that he did say it.
That is one of the three main modes in this. There is a little tiny bit of a single play thing. There's no like campaign like in the old ones, but there's like these eight or nine characters, each with a different ability that you play in the regular multiplayer, and you go through and do like one scenario with each of them.
Oh, okay.
And it gives you a little cutscene that fills in this fucking dumb story. But the story is funny. Like, not deliberately, but it's just, I fucking hate every bit of writing in that game.
Right.
Every single little piece of dialogue that is said by any of them sucks.
But you feel that way about every one of them that you play.
The recent ones.
Five or six.
Because it's these fucking Burger King motherfuckers. it is that sort of Monster Energy drink fucking cousin who'll like poke you with a knife.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Or like a key that's almost a knife. It's something knifeish. You know what I mean?
Sounds like a murderer.
They're making that game for that cousin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every every one of these things, like you start the match and you've chosen the character you want to play as, and like, oh, maybe I'll play as this character. He goes, about fucking time.
Right. Like, oh, God damn, mate.
Great. All that sort of shit where it's like, I've fucking killed it.
Yeah.
It's dog shit.
Yeah.
But
pound it out, bro.
Exactly.
Great.
But it's hilarious.
Yeah, nice.
Because you're stuck with these douchebags for this very fun game. But like, yeah, all of the trimmings are dumb as hell.
Right.
But who cares?
Yeah.
Sure.
You can literally turn it off too. They know.
Yeah,
they know that it sucks,
right?
But it's just the direction that.
Oh,
this
I thought
is
you
gone.
Meant just the game. It's like, yeah, no, we're aware.
We can all turn all games.
You
off.
Can turn off like the quips and whatever.
Yeah, okay,
that's
right.
Great.
So it's the equivalent. Like, I would prefer to listen to the dude on the headset fucking ripping his bong than these dumb dialogue.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Anyway, the main multiplayer thing is still there, the same as the other games, where it's all the modes you'd expect, or it's like Team Deathmatch and some version of Capture the Flag and some version of Hold This Area.
Yeah, Domination and all that. Yeah,
all that sort of thing. It's the same, but it's just really polished and really good. The maps are fun so far. It's just a very well-made multiplayer shooter.
Multiplayer,
continues to be that. And the Zombies mode is the first time I've liked the Zombies mode, really.
Right.
It's been in heaps of them. And it's sort of like an endless wave.
Yeah, sure.
Type.
Horde mode.
Yeah. And it's got like this, all this weird supernatural trapping stuff to it where like...
Oh, that's right. I remember we watched the trailer for it.
Yeah. So many like fucking systems on top of things where it's like you get these points and you can buy this gun, or you can go and get this random box gun, or you can go and get this perk that will do this, or you can go and open these doors, and like there's just a lot to keep track of.
Right.
But once you fall into the rhythm of it, and I think this one has a better tutorial or something where I've just found the rhythm with it more quickly.
Right.
It's like a cooperative thing and it's really fun.
Great. Cool.
And I think the problem with the zombies thing for me as well is that, as with any of those horde modes, the ending definitely being that you lose, that you die at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Always kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
And it's just not this time for whatever reason. Hmm. The maps are like fun and interesting. Like it's... alternate Titanic that you're fighting on as it's sinking or whatever, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That there's like powered up boss zombies that show up from time to time, and whatever is different or is just clicking for me and is the same as the other ones in this one is working for me for whatever reason.
Great.
The combination of having those three modes accessible at any time as well and flipping between them as you get sick of each one is so good. That they're all different enough from each other, but all the same enough that you stay in that rhythm that you're in.
Yeah,
and you feel like you're, you know, getting in the competent sort of zone with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess if you're into multiplayer stuff, there is something to be said for something that just is all multiplayer, which at no point are you like, oh, I mean, I guess I should do a big bunch of the campaign now just because that's like the always like the main thing of the game. Like you are free to just go, well, I bought this because I want multiplayer. I'm just going to... Yeah, just do one of these three.
And the campaigns have been going down in quality year after year.
Yeah.
Basically. So I like them because I liked them because of the spectacle and the flashiness, and they were inventive at times and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But they had lost that over the last few years.
Yep.
So having a break from that, or if this is a direction they just keep going in, it's not that big of a loss.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd mind it more, but I don't.
Mm. Yeah, cool.
And the thing of flipping between them is so great to just change into these different things so quickly and easily and in such a like slick, well-made package sort of thing. Like not in terms of necessarily the art design and all that stuff, which again suffers from a bit of the problem of the dialogue where like just the attitude of the game is a bit like, oh, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
You fucking guy who told me how he was chroming on the school bus. Do you know what I mean? It's it's that sort of guy.
Yeah.
But
he wears his country's flag of origin as a t-shirt.
Yeah, or like as a fucking, like it's above his bed or something. I don't know. It's somewhere. Though.
But that was always going to be the case.
Yeah.
There's never any chance that wasn't going to be what it was.
It's so over the top that it's almost at a parody level on it, which kind of makes it fun.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, just the core of it is so good that if you were into it at any point, I think this might be the one to come back for.
Right.
Because it's the bits of it that are based on the old things are such a refinement of it that I think it's kind of fresh again.
Yep.
In some ways. And like the multiple characters aren't like Overwatch level having to learn all these different things. It's like they have one ability that is different from the other, like three total, but they're very simple and they're easy to learn the difference between. And then the new blackout mode is such a good version of that thing that if you haven't really gotten into a battle royale thing, this is probably the one to go for. If you haven't fallen off of it, this might get you back in.
Yep.
And if you haven't liked the other ones, this one still might be better.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I think that mode on its own is worth trying.
Yeah, right.
Somehow.
Interesting.
And if you have liked Call of Duty at any point, this one is a very good one for the multiplayer. And if you continue to like it, you've already bought it.
Yeah.
But I think it's really
good. Wow, everyone got catered for in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically for everyone unless you just don't like first-person shooters.
Totally. Right.
But like that is
there is a game called Ramen Simulator that you would like.
Well, no, I would hate that because I'm not eating actual ramen.
No, that's true.
That is seriously the only reason I would not recommend it is if you like multiplayer shooters just aren't my thing, that ain't me.
Yep.
Step off.
Yep.
Or if you know that Call of Duty doesn't gel with you in whatever
aesthetically
way.
Aesthetically strongly enough that you
maybe, or just like you've played them and you were like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Right.
At some point. But if you're curious, I reckon you probably won't be disappointed in the blackout mode. But yeah, you have to like multiplayer stuff. That's all there is.
Yeah.
It's only a multiplayer game.
Right.
Don't buy it otherwise.
Yeah. Right.
Obviously. But like it is a change. So
you can sit there by yourself and eat your Hungry Jack's burger. That's a pretty good single player experience. Maybe that's what they were going for the whole time.
Oh yeah.
I am reviewing Hungry Jack's here. The chips are better though.
Yep.
And that's about the only rule.
Yeah.
I don't think the burgers are better there.
I do. I think they're better than... I like it more than McDonald's.
They're better than McDonald's, though.
No, Hungry Jack's always makes me feel sick. And McDonald's, only half the time.
It does. Yeah, that's the thing. The burgers are, like, better at the time, but I get so much more regret from a Hungry Jack's.
Yes, yeah, totally.
And also, they're all worse than a KFC.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that.
KFC is the top for me, yeah.
Mm. If you're going to eat some grubby food...
Out of the big three.
Yeah.
Get yourself that K.
Yeah, that dirty bird.
Get in the K hole.
Jump in the K hole. Right down the bottom of the bucket. But yeah, Call of Duty good. That's
the other one we were going to review, something that we've all played.
Yeah.
Astrobot Rescue Mission.
It's... I'm not going to start because I've been talking for ages.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So you finished it?
No.
You haven't finished it?
No.
Okay.
I've done a lot of it, but I can only stay in the VR thing for like an hour at a time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just kind of get a headache after that.
But you did play it first and you recommended that we both play it.
Yeah.
You really liked it.
Yeah. You spoke highly of it and you urged us to get it, which by the way, we have a VR headset for the show.
Yes.
That a listener was kind enough to purchase for us.
Mm.
And we've now gone out and we all have one now.
Yeah.
We split the costs of
spread our wings.
Two remaining ones.
Yeah.
Thank you to that listener for purchasing that for us.
Yes.
But as it turns out, splitting custody of a VR headset is a quite ineffective way of doing things.
It's a real hassle.
Like with a lot of things with VR, it can be a headache.
Yeah.
And
once you've got one set up, just
big time,
for
easy.
Yourself though, oh fuck, it's the dream.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so nice to have it there, and like it still takes a bit of doing to get yourself into a position where VR in general, because like before we go into the game, this will be the thing that maybe sells a lot of people on VR. I think it's just tipped over the point where there's enough stuff on it now that it's almost recommendable as a second console or whatever. Which
this
is
the first thing I've played on it where I'm like, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other stuff that we've kind of dicked around with, the kind of experience-y stuff, I'm like, this is cool, but, fine to just give it a whack for 15 minutes and go, okay, cool, without being like, oh, I'm busting to go back in.
Totally. This is not I'm a scuba diver sitting in a shark tank. This is not Batman for 5 minutes. This is a game which, interestingly, is not really like you're in the first person of the thing you're playing at all.
No.
You're just – it's more like a 3D game or something.
Yeah.
So I'm too – I think I've just finished World 2.
Mm.
I think I've maybe done the first level of World 3. And I am absolutely loving it.
Me too. I'm like halfway through World 4. There's 5 worlds and then a bunch of bonus levels. It's so good.
I reckon this is the most I could possibly enjoy a 3D platformer.
Yeah.
I was really wondering what you were going to think.
Me too. Yeah. Because I know you're on record as saying you don't really like 3D platformers.
Yeah.
But I know that you, weirdly enough, you like Mario 3D World. land on the 3DS.
Yes, yeah.
And that's the way I would describe this game and have been to people is it's like Mario 3D Land, except if your head is in the middle of the level.
Totally.
You are the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the camera. It's super fun. I had been mucking around with like trying to watch YouTube 360 videos and like a couple of the other games.
YouTube.
you have to on PlayStation. But like I played a couple of games where you just kind of, you know, looking at a normal game with a big screen, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
And the resolution was really sticking out as being quite poor. And then the moment you start playing a game like this that's purpose-built for VR, that doesn't matter. They fix it somehow and it just does exactly what you expect it to, which is immerse you in this world.
It's the first kind of VR thing that is an actual game where it's effective, it's good and fun and an interesting game in its own right. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like, oh, I can look everywhere in the game. Yeah. Like it actually, so you, for the most part, you kind of remain fixed. Your head remains fixed.
You're a floating robot hovering behind the robot you're controlling with the controller.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're a little, so it's kind of, it's basically, yeah, you described it to me as like, it's like a Nintendo game, and it really is.
And
like,
you're the Lakitu?
Yeah.
Whatever you are, you're that.
Yeah.
But then you interact with the world as well by like bashing your head against objects.
And peeking around corners.
Looking around corners, turning your body around the whole way. So it's like Mario 1 where once you move to a certain point, you can't go back.
Yeah.
But your character can walk back, the little Astrobot.
Yeah.
So you look behind you. The best way to play it is in a swivel chair.
Right.
If you've got that available to you, just because you will be turning around a lot.
Yeah, you recommended that to me and I don't. Must be nice. Is all I have to say.
It's great.
Yeah.
Because I've got one where the arms can come up.
Right.
So I'm just I'm hovering.
Yeah.
It's
I will
so
say though,
immersive.
I've been liking it. I've been liking like I'm doing a dad reversing a station wagon, like arm over the back of the couch, like, let me just steady myself here and get a good old look behind me.
And that works for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because the world is so interactive or like feels so there.
Yeah.
You turn around and look behind you, especially because you've got this cute little robot who totally works.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be personalityless, like those ones seemed on like the cover of the VR thing.
I know what you mean.
It's a little... Still is a little bit of that for me.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's compensated for by the rest of it.
His animation and stuff is so good. The design is maybe bland.
Yes, yeah.
We should probably. I'm just very aware that sometimes on the show I don't think we describe enough of like what it actually is.
Right.
And I think it's very necessary with this because I think the percentage of people listening who will have access to VR and be able to play it is pretty limited.
Or has even heard of it because I hadn't heard of it at all before you mentioned it.
True. Yeah. Okay. So Astrobot Rescue Mission is the name of the game again.
Yes. Yeah, so you're in these levels and you're basically just having to get to the end. It is if you've played like Mario 3D Land or Mario 3D World, it is set up. It's and also similar to the little kind of zones that you go into in Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
Those kinds of setups. But it's also got a bit of Rayman in it where he's around trying to rescue his little friends. So there's 8 of them in each level.
Yeah.
And so you have to find them and kind of like rescue them and
get to the finish line.
So
you just go up to them and kick them.
You just got and the incentive to like go back and find all of them, and you need a certain amount of them to unlock bosses as you get gated at a certain point.
It's very Rayman Legends in that way.
Yeah. And
or Mario 64, they're the stars before you can move on.
Sure,
yeah.
It's very platformer.
So
it is a platformer.
So it is very traditional 3D platformer, but where the VR bit really comes into its own is that, you know, there are a lot of these little guys that you cannot find unless you look around the entire space.
Mm.
So you need to move you need to crane your neck out from where you're sitting and peek around a thing.
There's no camera controls.
Yeah,
you're the camera, and it's just a straight level Crash Bandicoot style where you go down a hallway.
Yep.
Where you move, so you, the player, where you move is kind of on rails. So if you move the little robot to a certain point, then you're kind of field of vision will move on.
Yeah.
But until then, you're locked. So there's bits where he's literally walking like right in front of you. There's bits where it keeps you kind of frozen for a very long time. Mm. So he'll get pretty far off in the distance. I just played one where he goes like he's on a beach and he goes all the way out to this island that's really, really far away until he's just a little blip.
Right.
But it's still so visible despite like the resolution having been an issue with other things.
Yeah.
It totally isn't here.
Yep.
I think there's some dynamic resolution thing going on because you look at the controller when the level is changing and it gets a little fuzzier.
Because
you're
holding
the PS4, the regular controller in place, and that is represented in the game as well.
And I will say on the resolution thing, like, feeling like that in it, it's like, wow, this is more crisp than I remember VR being. But then I watched the trailer for this game on YouTube on a computer screen and went, oh, okay. Seeing it actually rendered on a on your telly or an actual screen or whatever, like you can see the difference. But it doesn't feel blurry when you're playing it.
Not at all.
The PS4 Pro does affect VR too. So if you have access to one of them, that will. But it doesn't matter much. I've seen like little comparison videos. I went and watched them because I'm an asshole and fucking can't just have something nice. I have to always be thinking about the next thing. But it makes a bit of a difference, but you won't really mind.
So, yeah, the challenge of, like, finding these little guys in the area. And I think it's really – I was thinking about this when I was playing it this afternoon. It's so – it's really interesting to me in that the fact that you, the player, are in the game and you occupy an actual physical space. So you have you, the little robot that you're controlling, and then you, the player.
And you do, I don't think we said this. You control a basically a character like a Mario character. You move it around the level like you would in any other 3D platformer. It's not. There's no motion control there. There's no weirdness. You're just playing a platformer.
There are little bits of times.
Not with him.
Only with what you are physically representing, which is your head and your controller that you're holding. So, you'll see yourself in the mirror sometimes in some levels as the little robot guy. You'll see your shadow on the ground and dancing around in there. It maps completely perfectly to it. It's so fucking weird to look at where he is moving and the controller is being represented correctly. It's nuts. So then, you are a participant as
so that's
the
what
human
I think
being.
Is one of the things I'm finding so interesting about it is this, like, you know, in video games there's this idea that, you know, we are playing a game and we're controlling this person's actions and movements and whatever, but this game having this kind of formalization of the idea of you as the player, where so you're this big robot that is controlling this little robot, and the like you said, the actual PlayStation controller is visible to you in the space, and you can see the stick moving. So there's this idea that you are in this world controlling this, like, smaller robot because you're so big that you can't get around.
It's significant too. Like, even the terminology third-person platformer, it speaks to that level of separation that you have from what you're doing in the game. And you feel so – I mean, A, the – clever implementation of making you a participant in it with your head being like, so you'll come across like billboards that you've got to whack with your head, or your controller will get little powers so you can spray water out of it,
shoot a little hook off.
And there's bits where you, for the, when you first get the hook, you are kind of using it to just shoot and pull bits of wall down. And then, but then there's bits where you're using it to grapple onto a hook and stay there.
And as and a little tightrope.
And then you guide him onto it. And so he's just in front of you and you're, and you can then kind of flick the controller up to make him bounce up in the air to pick things up.
And it's also tangible and intuitive that you don't get really confused by. And it'll give you little things of like, hey, you can do this. But you kind of just know in that really good Nintendo style game design way, like you don't have a point where you're like, what do I do? You have all the tools there and you know how to use them, and they're so logically used that you just figure it out. And it's that's so fucking cool, and that is such hard shit to do because so many games fall short of it.
So there, and there's a, I played a minecart level just before, which was, you know, and that's a lot of the design and a lot of the level design and the character design is quite derivative. I don't think there's too much going on in the way of the art direction or anything that is like knock your socks off, unique and original.
It's
Shit. It's cute as shit. It doesn't matter when it's being done. So like minecart levels, it's like, well, that's Donkey Kong Country and heaps of other things, but it's in VR. Which they're not, so that's enough.
And beyond that, they do more than that too. There are ideas with everything. Like every level kind of has its own gimmick, and then it does things with it that make it interesting the whole time beyond just the thing of being in VR.
I think only mechanically though. I think it's big failing is the aesthetic. It's hard to say much positive about it other than it's not awful. It's just very boring.
I think visually, like the little creatures and everything being all little robots, the sort of the color palette and the sense of scale and distance and stuff that is kind of innate to VR.
It's
good.
Yeah, it's working for me because I'm loving being in it so much. Yeah. But if it was, you know, if Nintendo did have their own version of this where the tech was exactly the same and it was literally be in this or be in Mario, well, then it's no contest.
Yeah.
For the context of like this and being in it and it like it all, I think it looks, yeah, it looks great. It's a clean, crisp world. Like you could take these characters out and some of the enemies and just keep the level design and transplant Mario characters into it, and it wouldn't feel wrong. Which is perhaps a negative thing of it if you're saying you could just erase these characters and put in ones from a different, you know, company.
Yeah,
that, you know, that. What that says is that it's not the most original design, but it, you know, it doesn't matter.
I think with the enemies, for sure, they're like a little boring. They're just sort of little spike guys.
And
it is a platformer. It's not doing anything crazy different to that. Yeah. It's just a very, very well done one.
And there is still a lot of personality in it. Like he,
and it is inventive with the platformer things it does.
If you leave him alone for a couple of seconds, he'll turn and look at you and start waving like he wants to get your attention, or when like he's doing stuff, which is very cute.
Running in front of a beam in front of your face, and he'll just look at you and go like, how about this shit?
Yeah.
Give you a little look.
All that stuff is really cool.
It's so good. The bosses are fucking great.
The bosses are awesome. Yeah.
It really just is the style. It is the texture on top that it's like, it's like the difference between like that Big Hero 6 movie and like The Incredibles. It's like, well, one has guaranteed certifiable personality.
Yeah.
The other one didn't.
That is a really good comparison, is this is the like Disney Studios to Nintendo's Pixar.
Yeah.
But it's not something that gets in your way of enjoying it.
No,
and the other thing is, in the VR space, well, this is all it is in terms of a game, like a game.
But I want to point out that isn't the likable thing about it. That like there's not another option.
This is the only thing
VR. I would like this game anyway.
Same.
That's the thing.
The music is great. Yeah. The music is really, really great.
The music's fucking awesome.
I think actually that maybe is the biggest positive in what I've said, is like if you put a more interesting palette on top, it would be an incredible game, which means the mechanics are incredible.
Yeah, that's
what that means.
I totally think they are. It's weird. I don't quite know how to make it sound like it's not a gimmick to turn around and look and see a little guy in the distance and have to go get him.
Mm. Yeah.
But it really makes a difference. And not just in a like, oh, cool way, in a mechanical kind of way.
It sounds like we're playing the first ever Wii game we've ever played and been like,
right,
oh my God, you can swing the thing like a sword.
It's
not that. It is genuinely creative and innovative in what it's done here.
So thought through and like deliberate and detailed with every decision it makes in there as well. Like nothing feels like, I mean, you get the thing of a big plane flying overhead and you're like, whoa, a plane.
Sure.
But most of the time it's like looking around in this little bit and figuring out to look there because the level is designed well enough to guide you sort of enough in that direction, but not quite.
I normally hate underwater stuff, but I really like the underwater level that I've played in this, because it's like, oh, well, this is cool because now he's like right in front of me. I can move him around freely right in front of me. It's the first thing I've played. That's funny that you say the Wii thing, because it's the first thing that I've played in as long as I can remember where I've been like, I fucking want to show everyone I know this. Not just people who are into games. In fact, almost exclusively people who aren't into games.
Completely agree.
I want to get my friends around and have them on it and go, I was trying to message people about it last night going, you've got to fucking see this. And they're like, oh, I don't play games. I'm like, I know, but I honestly, you will fucking lose your mind. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And just having it take up your whole field of vision. Like there's a level early on where you come out of a cave and then you're on the outside and there's like, I think there's like these huge giant mushrooms.
Yeah. Oh,
and they're
all
smiling and it just, you get so struck by.
They're massive.
They're massive. And it sounds lame to say it, but I realized like the whole time I've been playing it, I was just playing it with this huge smile on my face for the whole time. Like it just this is unbelievable. Like I feel like I'm 12 dreaming about the future. Like I fucking cannot believe I'm sitting here playing this in my own house.
This is very lame. But it is so, like, tangible is the word I've used before, but you're so there that I am having fun talking to the little robot.
I agree.
Just kind of like, a bit high up there, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Don't trip, eh? I'm not saying that, but you know, whatever I'm saying.
You call him the N-word.
I'm just in it the whole time.
I completely agree.
And like I said, that formalization of you being in the game and not just like, well, you somehow control Mario?
Yeah.
Like, he just is this... You know what I mean? That being an actual thing and a part of it, and it does, weirdly, even though you know that you're not directly controlling him because you're not him, you're you, but for some reason it makes
you
feel...
Oh, man, holy shit.
It does make you feel closer to it in some way, even though you do have one level of removal over the actions that you're putting in to make this little guy
that
go
thing
and
you
do
were saying
thing.
Before of putting your arm on the thing like a dad reversing.
Yeah.
You do feel like that where you're like, all right, mate, come on. No, we'll turn around. We'll do it back there. Yeah. All right, you got him? Good for you, mate. All right, let's keep going.
That's a really good point. It creates a real connection between you and the thing you're controlling.
Yeah.
And on purpose, you're like a robot. It's a robot. It's creating, this real connection.
Yeah.
And there are heaps of bits where like... The looking around, like some of them, you know, you'll be on a beam and the level is like there's a big cliff, so you can fall down a big cliff. Yeah. It's a big open space. And you have to look, you know, down at your feet and you'll see right down below there's a little guy hiding. Yeah. So you have to send him, you know, you have to send him like drop down. Like the feeling of satisfaction, for me, that's the big thing that stops it from being a gimmick. Mm. The hunt for finding these little guys and you needing, you can't just like rotate the camera around.
Yep.
There would be no other way of conveying that if you didn't have the VR headset.
Totally.
It's absolutely necessary for that being a challenge, and that's what stops it from just being like, oh, it's a 3D platformer that you just it's in 3D around you.
Yeah.
And I think I can see your point. I can see your point with the aesthetics from like if you were to look at them in the Photoshop file or whatever they used that they were made in. Like they're not great drawings, but they're implemented so well into this 3D space. And then all the little tiny details of like when you have that water can and you can spray it on your own face and it'll go and make that noise. That's not the noise that water makes, but it'll...
What noise does water make? No, that's the sound.
Still day.
That's the sound of one hand clapping. I also really like, and this is sort of
but
basic stuff.
It's got a million
stuff.
Of those details.
Yeah, the stuff that was in like the VR demo discs of like you look at your controller and it's been given a new coat of paint and the buttons are different.
Fuck, I want that controller in real life.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, yeah. But like that dumb basic tech aspect of like, oh, that's right. It's more AR stuff. It's like things that you're holding will appear to be different things, and that immerses you even more, I think.
Or
totally.
Big time, yeah.
Before every level, you like kind of lock your controller into this little...
little hologram little space for it, yeah.
And it feels like this solid, like, all right, I'm in kind of thing. You feel like you're jacking in.
He's standing in the controller like when you start the level and you have to like make him jump off it.
When you catch when you save the little guys, they jump into your controller and they're all sitting there like,
yeah.
There's a Beanstalk level that's really great where I talked about how it kind of gates you in terms of like your head and how you move through the level. Mm. So the Beanstalk one is like
you're going
very
up vertically.
Yeah, you're going up. And so it's very deliberate with its checkpoints where you really are having to crane your neck right back to be able to see him because he's right around stuff that you know, is really high up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll hit the checkpoint and then you know, and then your head goes right up through into the next bit.
Right.
That's one
just really clever tricks like that of making it, of where it chooses to, you know, progress your head forward through the level.
One thing I did want to mention that is more of a broad VR thing is that this does have like barriers to entry if you've got like accessibility issues with it.
Sure.
You need to be moving around and looking your head around and craning your neck the whole time.
It's not a good game to play when you've got a back injury. I'll say that.
Totally. Like if you have limited mobility, this isn't an easy or possible game to play.
I already was loving living on my own and playing this last night. I was like, I literally would not be able to do this if I still lived in a share house.
Yeah.
That's
like,
what
just
I would
be,
say.
just be in a living room, and because I've been playing it with the headphones on as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you are
same.
Out to the outside
totally.
World. There can be no risk of anyone discovering you doing this.
No, especially if like you will be tempted to fucking have a little chat with that robot.
Yeah.
Or to have a big grin and to go like, oh, fucking hell, look at the size of that.
Yeah.
But like oh man, it's good.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
It just works so well. The only like little caveats with it is it's not massive. It's not Mario Odyssey sized.
Sure.
You know,
it's getting amazing reviews though. I hope they add stuff to it or do DLC.
That'd
or
be
a secret.
Great.
I just
it's
hope
also
it makes
a bit cheaper than it's like $50 or
$50
something.
$50 It's I just hope that it makes other developers
get there's
on
a possum. There's a possum on the fence outside.
Is that a possum?
Shit, yeah.
Oh man, I thought it was a cat.
That's a little possum.
No, he's gone.
Fuck off.
He's gone.
That's That's crazy.
Dude, it's so
weird. Left my window open last night when I was asleep. Imagine if a possum had come in and just fucking mauled the fuck out of me.
Oh, man.
Imagine if a possum had come in here while I was playing that fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
And started just going for it.
I honestly keep getting a little bit freaked out with the VR and having to, like, take it off every now and again. Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure someone's in this room.
Well, it's interesting because we were talking on Sunday about, you know, all of us being a bit, being so distracted by our phones and, like, putting on a movie and just, like, and this, it's funny, like, then playing this, like, the next day where it's the perfect antidote to that where you're just in. Like, you can't, like, I can't check my phone. I can't look at the time. It's just, like,
it's,
I'm just playing it until I've a bit, you know, the headset's starting to hurt my head or whatever. Like, there's no thing of, like, oh, this game is going to take me an hour to play 5 minutes of it because between every load screen I'm then pausing it and sitting on Facebook for 15 minutes. You know?
Yeah. The we've already kind of said this. All the little touches, like you've got this little spaceship that's your kind of home base. He's the guy you're kind of trying to fix by going through all these levels.
Yep.
And if you go into that, there's like fun little slides you can make for all the guys that you've rescued and stuff.
You do a little skill tester thing where you can like build a little habitat for them.
They do a fun little dance at the end of every level.
Yep.
It's just fucking fun as shit the whole time. Thing. Every little touch is thought about and made fun.
So I think the best or the most exciting thing about this game, I'll say, is that when I'm playing it, I'm also thinking like, imagine if they applied this to another kind of game.
Right.
Yeah. If they did this to a Uncharted style cinematic action game or a more puzzly puzzle game, or I'm just sitting
You're the
there going like
drone in Splinter Cell or whatever. Yeah. That's
totally
above the action.
Totally. But, yeah. It's just
well,
like
of course, for me and the way you pitched it to me, Nox, all I can think is like, God, I want Nintendo to get their shit in order and get this going.
Because,
in 30 years' time, it'll be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think that, you know, I feel like for the longest time, everyone kind of thought, well, what VR gaming will be is it'll be first person, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be you're in GTA and you're the character. And this far and away is the most successful thing where it's a game in its own right.
Yeah.
It's got length to it. It's not just a tech demo. It's not just a novelty. It has all this stuff that's very impressive. And it's not. It's third person. And I think that's the most exciting thing is like, well, this is now the door is open. Now there's a blueprint to like, this is how you do it. Don't worry about making it like you're, you know, seeing this through the character's eyes. Because I think people found that to be a bit much or a bit like
and
nauseating.
It's,
like,
it's weird because your field of vision is more limited in a VR thing where you've only got right in front of you. You don't have the peripheral.
Yeah.
So I think that makes first person feel stranger because you feel like you're looking through weird binoculars.
Totally.
Or
I think like what we're used to now is watching movies, watching TV shows.
Right.
Video games are presented in that style. Make us the camera in a fucking epic action movie.
Big time. Right.
That would be amazing.
And it is slightly hyperbolic, but I saw, like, before this came out, there was, like, a big Twitter. This guy on Twitter did a review of it that everyone was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Mm.
And the phrasing he used with this is that the Mario 64 moment for VR.
It is,
When that
game
came along and it's like, here's how you do a camera, here's how you do movement in 3D.
Yeah.
This is the structure of making a 3D game because you've got fewer assets, you make it a hub world and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of set this template that this game is still following to some extent.
Yeah.
And this does feel like they just get VR.
Yep.
And they've gone, here is it. And that seems to be a lot of the more successful VR things that people have liked, a setup like they're a diorama that you are playing with.
Yeah, and you're totally right. Like, do an Uncharted, do a whatever it is, but the rule should be it's, okay, Nathan Drake's brought a drone along with him to document the whole thing.
Yeah.
Have it explained away. As long as you can always...
Sometimes in every
justification for what you are as the camera, like your head being the camera.
Cutscenes where, like, Nathan Drake's fucking loser friend who's scared of everything and, like, stands back. It's like, be careful, Nathan.
Yeah.
I'll stand on this cliff and watch.
Totally. Yeah.
And you're that loser friend.
Totally.
Yeah. Holding a big VCR camera.
Who can also fly, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
The ghost of Sully watching it.
So, look, I mean, it really is. It's one of the most just wowed I've been by something in a very long time.
Just,
and I know.
Joyful and, and like just. Surprising.
Yeah, and I know that when we talk about this, we're coming from a position of, you know, I guess...
Doggy.
Reverse cowgirl, actually.
Well, it's good. Reverse cowgirl is good because you're actually not... You're seeing it from behind.
That's what, yeah, we should have said that that's what this game is.
It's reverse cowgirl slash doggy style of game. Where you kind of feel like... Whatever.
But we are speaking from a position of quote unquote privilege where we've all gone and got, you know,
I reckon
VR.
We have to put the quotes on. I reckon that's
it's a blessed position to be in for the three of us to have VR, access to the money to get VR. And, you know, anything else, just a game, you'd be going, well, you listen to this games podcast, fucking run out and get it right now.
Yeah.
I know that's not realistic for probably a big chunk of people listening to this.
Yeah.
But if you have a bit of money lying around,
if you had a toe in the water with it and were thinking about it.
I know it's an insane amount of money to spend on a game, given that you would have to go out and get yourself the headset as well.
Yeah.
But honestly, it is that fucking good.
Mm.
And that now that the door is open, you can have some degree of comfort that, you know, more will be coming.
Yeah. There are some good VR games that are
there. There are. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
enough now where it feels like a launch lineup.
Yeah.
Sort of amount where you can go, this console is good. And you have to treat it like it's a console in
itself.
Totally. Because it's about that price.
Yeah.
This, if you have a PS4, this is a reason to get a VR. It really is that good and impressive and immersive and fun. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about it, and I've only been playing it for one night.
Yeah.
I'm busting for this to be done so that you guys can get the fuck out of my house and I can play a bit more of it.
Let's hide here and watch it.
I've been thinking about it all day, and when I've loved stuff, I've been happy to kind of walk away and then be like, oh, I'll play that a bit more now, but I just can't wait to see what the next thing it throws at me is.
Yeah,
it's a fucking good, fun game.
Yeah. 7 out of 10.
Well, guys, I think that's us done for another week on the pod. The Patreon, the Bandcamp stuff going up soon. We are going to be at PAX on the Sunday the 28th at 5 p.m. in the Ibis Theatre, doing a little wrap-up of the weekend of what we've played and what we've seen and everything. We're going to have some great special guests coming along.
Yeah. If you have memories of Flash games that you enjoyed or that you didn't enjoy but have memories of any sort of Flash game thing, like I said, the second half of this Bandcamp thing, we're going to put out a little later for free for people who bought it.
Yep.
And it's going to be all about people who listen, that things that they enjoyed.
Yeah.
So any Flash game stuff or like web games, you know, not strictly Flash.
Or those weird obscure animations that people put out, that kind of weird era of culture.
Filthycasuals.pod
@gmail.com. Yep. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to all the other stuff that we do.
Yes.
Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Honestly, I'm going to go buy a Whopper.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.